All right, I'll read the opening statement. This time and place for hearing by the California Region Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider proposed resolution approving Santa Rosa Nutrient Offset Program, Order Number R1-2008-0061, for the Santa Rosa Subregional Water Reclamation System. This item has been properly noticed. Sheet explaining the procedure for this hearing is available at the handout table. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand? Raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth in this matter? We'll begin staff's presentation. Mr. Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm still Charles Reed, staff engineer of the board. I'd like to enter the file into the record. There are some late additions to your package that I'd like to go over to make sure we're all talking about the same thing.
Make sure everybody has it then.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, I do.
So-called item 9?
I guess.
Yes. It's approving the Santa Rosa Nutrient Offset Program.
All right.
Okay, in your package you should have a gold copy, which is a clean copy of the resolution and attachment one, which is the nutrient offset program itself. In white, you should have a underlined strikeout version of the resolution and the offset program, which shows what changes have been made since the agenda was sent out to you and the public. You'll also have a copy of the PowerPoint. And there was also a letter submitted by the US EPA in last week.
So, Charles, on the strikeout version, we had one in our packet that had strikeouts. These are additional
These
changes?
Are new strikeouts. I think they include the old strikeouts as well. Mm-hmm. The additions are underlined, findings 7 through 10 in the resolution are new. Mm-hmm. And there's a change in the offset program on page, it's 2 of the strikeout version. And it involves stormwater management projects. It's a slight change from the version that went out with the agenda.
And the board has this. I assume that it's on this available to public table outside.
Is that? Yes, it is now.
Okay.
And as I said, we also have a letter from the US EPA in support of adoption of the resolution and offset program.
Okay.
If you'd like to take a little time to look through it, I can wait.
No, go ahead.
Okay. The city's NPDES permit was renewed in September 2006, allowing discharge of up to 21.34 million gallons a day, average dry weather flow of tertiary treated water to up to 12 discharge points in the Laguna de Santa Rosa or its tributaries. The discharge season runs from October 1st to May 15th. Because of the extensive water reclamation efforts by the city, recent discharges have been effectively limited to the months of January and February. As an illustration of the impact of this, the annual discharge volumes have decreased from almost 4 billion gallons per year in the 2001-2002 discharge season to 190 million gallons per year from this last discharge period. So a considerable amount of water has been diverted from discharge to the Laguna to water reclamation. agricultural and urban reuses accounted for 8 billion gallons per year diverted from the Laguna discharge, and steam generation at the geysers is accounts for another minimum of another 4 billion gallons per year diverted from discharge to the Laguna. The Laguna de Santa Rosa is currently listed as impaired for nitrogen, phosphorus, low dissolved oxygen, temperature, sediment, and mercury. A TMDL for nitrogen and phosphorus is in progress and will set final load allocations and waste load allocations for nutrient sources in the watershed. However, because the discharge from the Laguna treatment plant is a known point source and discharges of nitrogen and phosphorus to the Laguna from the treatment plant contribute to the impairment, the city's NPDES permit includes effluent limits for nitrogen and phosphorus. Because the Clean Water Act prohibits additional degradation of an existing impaired water body, the final effluent limits for nitrogen and phosphorus are expressed as zero or no net loading. This requires the city to eliminate the discharge of nutrients from its treatment works to the Laguna, or at a minimum, ensure that the nutrients in its discharge are being offset by reductions elsewhere in the watershed until adoption of the TMDL, which is currently estimated to be at the end of 2013. In compliance with a zero or no net loading effluent limit is required by November 9th, 2011. The resolution before you today would establish a framework for reviewing and approving projects to offset nutrient loading from the city's Laguna treatment plant. This resolution itself does not approve any offset project. Indeed, none have yet been proposed by the city. Instead, offset projects are proposed in accordance with this offset program, which is in Attachment 1, and project approval would come after a 60-day review period that includes public input. The primary goal of the offset program is to provide one option for the city to comply with a no-net loading effluent limit. Secondarily, the offset program provides an opportunity to see nutrient reduction activities implemented before the TMDL is completed, with potentially immediate improvements to water quality and beneficial uses. All offset projects are evaluated and their success assessed through the following process. Well, by July 1st of each year, the city will submit anticipated nitrogen and phosphorus loading for the upcoming discharge season and a description of how the city will offset that anticipated discharge. For the purpose of sizing the nutrient offset programs that the city will undertake, the city will estimate the anticipated discharge for the upcoming year using the average nitrogen and phosphorus concentration and the average discharge volume from the city's water balance model to come up with a loading, an anticipated loading. The actual nitrogen and phosphorus loading may vary considerably from the average condition because discharge flow from the treatment plant is highly dependent on seasonal rainfall, which may fluctuate from year to year significantly or from during the year significantly. Once we receive offset project proposals, staff will provide public notice that offset projects have been submitted and will make copies of the project descriptions available to the public. Staff will accept public comments on all offset projects and will recommend project modifications as necessary. Staff will complete review and the executive officer will approve or reject any project proposal within 60 days. The city will then implement the approved project or projects. And as part of the following year's annual report, the city will compare the offset resulting from completed approved offset projects with the actual nutrient loading, which is a function of the actual discharge concentration and the discharge flow. If a project or group of projects has resulted in less nutrients delivered to the Laguna than has been discharged by the city's treatment plant, the city will be in compliance with no net loading. If nutrient reductions from a project or group of projects do not equal or exceed the city's actual discharge load, then the city may average up to 3 years of nutrient reduction to demonstrate compliance with a no net loading. For the first 3 years of the program, to offset an annual reduction shortfall caused by weather conditions or other unforeseen circumstances. For instance, a project that failed or that did not reduce, did not offset or reduce nutrient delivery as anticipated. If this is this happens, the city may also use credits that has banked from projects that has that have reduced nutrient loading to the Laguna, but were undertaken prior to 2011. Because remember, the effluent limit is goes into effect in 2011, but that we want to encourage the city to do projects prior to that to gain some benefit to the Laguna. Adequate safeguards have been incorporated into the offset program to protect water quality and to ensure that meaningful nutrient reduction projects are approved. And it's important to emphasize that that if this program is approved, we will be looking at projects individually on a project-by-project basis. And each project must comply with CEQA when it needs to, and each project will justify nutrient reduction estimates if estimates are necessary to determine how much credit they will give, be given. And it also includes a margin of safety. No credit will be given for activities that are already required. For instance, if their city is required under their municipal stormwater permit to conduct certain activities, the city will not be able to get credit for those activities. And we would expect not to propose projects that would be in direct conflict with that. No credit will be given an activity when it is required by a new permit, a waiver, or other regulatory action. The example we've been discussing internally is for dairies. The city may want to propose a project in the next year or two that involves dairies. And we also anticipate that there's going to be a dairy permit or a dairy waiver soon, within the next year or two. And once that waiver or permit or other regulatory action for dairies goes into effect, the city will no longer be able to claim credit for a project that involves dairies, because there'll be those projects will be required elsewhere, probably by the dairymen. It's also important to remember that this program expires when the TMDL is completed, because at that time we'll know what the load allocations are and the waste load allocations are, and the city will be given, the city's treatment plant will be given a certain waste load allocation based on the TMDL. So this program really is to fill in between the time the permit effluent limit goes into effect in 2011 and when the TMDL is adopted. So it may be 2 years, perhaps more. As you might expect, we received some public comments. Some commenters were concerned about this issue with overlap with other programs. We've added some changes to the resolution and the offset program to deal with this. We added some specific language regarding stormwater and projects that might overlap with the municipal stormwater permit, the existing one and the future one for the city. Concerns were voiced about uncertainties in assessing credit for nutrient removal. To address these concerns, we've required that all programs include a margin of safety and multiple lines of evidence where reduction credits must be estimated. The concept of banking of credits also raised concerns with some commenters. We, the staff, support the idea of credit banking because it's important to encourage implementation of projects as soon as possible. And the executive officer has wide discretion on how these bank credits might be allocated. One commenter was also concerned that there wasn't adequate opportunity for public comment on individual projects. In response, staff has modified the offset program to require notification of all proposed offset projects. And before I conclude, I'd like to just leave you with a final thought. We see there's great potential in this offset program. First, the city will be able to comply with its effluent limit of no net loading for nitrogen and phosphorus, which for me in the core regulatory unit is important. But the TMDLSF is also very excited that there could be some projects potentially that will jumpstart the TMDL process. And we think this is a winning strategy overall to for both the city and the Laguna. And with that, I'd like to conclude and recommend that the board adopt this resolution and the offset program.
All right. Thank you. Board members, any questions of staff? All right. Keep you around. We'll probably have you back. I have a card from Doug Eberhardt, US EPA.
Good morning, Chair and members of the board. My name is Doug Eberhardt, and I am the chief of our NPDES permits office in San Francisco. First, as an aside, I'd like to thank you for the beautiful resolution in memory of Palma that you adopted this morning. I thought that did a remarkable job of capturing her spirit and her contribution to the North Coast. Next, I'd like to apologize for the late submission of our comments, and given their late nature, I'd like to take a couple minutes just to briefly go over the key items in our letter. First, we do support this program. The offset programs such as this are a national priority with EPA. We're looking for examples of offset programs because we think they have the potential to enhance environmental protection. Specifically in this, I'd like to comment on three parts of this program that we support. The first is the inclusion of a margin of safety. There is a lot of uncertainty in these types of activities, and we think it's appropriate to take a margin of safety into account. Secondly, we do support the banking system. We do think it's important to have constraints on that that will ensure that pollution reduction activities are taking place throughout the term of the program. And we see that in this program. And the last issue is that we also think it's important to ensure that projects aren't undertaken that would otherwise be required, as this program does. So we support those three items in particular, and we support the program overall. Thank you, Ann. Happy to answer any questions.
Board member, when you cite margin of safety, how do you define that?
Well, it's just that there's a lot of uncertainties that go into accounting for how much nutrient reduction might occur as a part of a particular activity, or with respect to seasonality of the discharge, and whether or not a discharge at one time of the year might have more or less impact than a discharge another time of year. And so given those uncertainties, we think it's important to build in extra reductions to get credit to offset the discharge that the city would have. And how that's done, I think, is flexible. It can be done a number of ways.
All right. Thank you. Next, Lynn Small, City of Santa Rosa.
Good morning again. Lynn Small with the City of Santa Rosa, Deputy Director of Environmental Services. With me here today is Miles Ferris, the Director of Utilities for the City, Dan Carlson, Deputy Director of Utilities Operations for the City, Dr. Dave Smith, our Project Manager for the City on its NPDES permit renewal, Craig Johns from the California Resource Strategies, Special Legal Counsel Nicole Granquist from Downey Brand Law Firm in Sacramento, and Suzanne Rawlings, our Assistant City Attorney. We are here today to support the adoption of the resolution approving the city, the Santa Rosa Nutrient Offset Program, and to put the program into context, given the subregional system's already dramatically reduced discharge to the Laguna. When the city's NPDES permit was last issued, it imposed a final effluent limitation of zero or no net loading for nitrogen and phosphorus discharge to the Laguna in the absence of approved TMDL. This final limitation takes effect in November 2011. The permit describes how no net loading can be achieved. The final limitation, The final limitation, the NODOT loading requirement, can be met by reducing loads elsewhere in the watershed by an amount at least equal to the amount discharged and of equivalent bioavailability through an approved offset program. Over the course of the last year, the city has held many meetings with Regional Water Quality Control Board staff to discuss the nutrient offset program that is here before you today for approval. By no means is the proposed nutrient offset program the preferred program from the city's perspective, but the program before you today is the result of a great deal of effort by both Regional Water Quality Control Board staff and city staff to develop an innovative program in this region that to continue reducing nutrient discharges to the Laguna in advance of the TMDL. This program, if approved, will beneficially improve the Laguna and achieve the permit requirement of an approved offset program by which the subregional system can achieve the no net loading requirement in advance of the TMDL. It is important to understand the discharge which is being offset by the program. It is not an offset program for a new or an additional discharge. Rather, the program is intended to offset the city's remaining but extremely reduced discharge of nutrients, which occurs only in the wettest and coldest months of the year, and which it occurs at a point downstream point of the Laguna. And I promise not to mention monitoring, Mr. Chairman. This graph indicates over the last 7-year period the number of days we discharge per discharge season, and also the volume of those discharges. As mentioned by Mr. Reed, in the 2001-2002 season, we discharged over 4 billion gallons of water, and we took over 160 days to do it. In comparison, our discharge this year was limited to 190 million gallons of water, and over a 12-day period in the middle of February. And that is at the point of time when our permit was adopted. You can see we were already on a downward trend. This chart identifies the pounds of nitrogen discharged in our 2005-2006 discharge season, which is near 160,000 pounds of nitrogen. And it also shows the average since our permit was adopted. That's a 2-year average there, which is approximately 18,000 pounds for that 2-year period. I'd also like to add that phosphorus, even though the numbers are different, the discharge reduction percentage is approximately the same. And that small portion at the bottom in the red is the amount of nitrogen we need to offset with this program, the 18,000 pounds. Again, this is the 18,000 pounds of nitrogen that we're going to be required to offset, hopefully through this program. And this is a bar graph of the inputs to the Laguna upstream of the wastewater treatment plant. This is from the Altered Laguna, authored by the Laguna Foundation last year. The significant amount of pounds of nitrogen being introduced upstream of our treatment plant. Some of our control opportunities, dairy manure management, prior to the waste discharge requirement being placed on the dairyman, we can haul our excess manure to the treatment plant. We can get twofold methane reduction, greenhouse gas reduction from the methane, and also we can generate methane from that manure and add it to our processes. We can also haul excess nutrient, excess nitrogen to, or nutrients, to nutrient short pastures, incorporate them for enhancement. In habitat enhancement, we can do the Ludwigia removal or dredge portions of the Laguna de Santa Rosa. This is a map of the Laguna de Santa Rosa watershed. The boundary is the dark brown line here. It also shows the limit of the 303 discharge listing here. And it also shows our discharge point, which is very close to the limit, which is very close to the Russian River. We discharge far downstream from the majority of the loading being applied to the Laguna de Santa Rosa. Again, this chart shows our offset that we're going to be required to, our volume of nitrogen that we're going to be required to offset other upstream sources. And this is our discharge period. We discharge typically between January and March of each year now. And of course, the green bar is the discharge of the rest of the nutrients being added to the laguna. And with that, I'm going to ask Craig Johns to take over.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members of the board. My name is Craig Johns. I'm with California Resource Strategies. I'm a consultant to the city. Have been working with the city on a variety of issues related to the wastewater treatment plant, and in particular with regard to the proposed nutrient offset program. I've had experience working in other regions here in the state of California on similar programs, namely in San Francisco Bay as well as in the Sacramento Delta. Those are specific these days to mercury. So I mentioned that just to point out that the notion of offsets is not necessarily a new one, although and one of the reasons I was asked to speak today briefly was to provide a little background on the concepts of offsets, because as board members, you may be wondering exactly what they are and how they're used, where they're being used, and so forth. And it's not my intent to go through that level of detail in terms of what they are and the specifics of how they're used, but I just wanted to give a couple of points that might be important for consideration by the board when they're considering this program. And before I move to the next slide, I want to point out that it's particularly I'm excited to be here to talk about this program because, with the exception of one program that's not a nutrient program here in California, there are no other not offset programs that are actually in place or have been recognized in California. And this board actually has the opportunity to lead the way, as it does in many other areas, to at least here in California, towards making very substantial reductions to pollutant removals in watersheds such as the Laguna de Santa Rosa. I want to touch on a couple of things relative to what's happening around the country. 13 states currently have formal nutrient offset frameworks, either already in place or they're currently being developed. And most of my comments, almost all of my comments, are going to be specific to nutrient offset programs or trading programs. There are a number of states that have programs and projects that deal with other pollutants, but I'll just limit my comments today to nutrients. The slide element there says 19 different offset programs around the country. It's actually 21. I found out that there were two more that I had missed, and when I prepared this slide, I apologize for that. It's actually 21 different programs, and there are 34 different nutrient projects that are either underway currently, where trades or offsets are ongoing around the country, or have been approved, just awaiting for the mechanics, if you will, to take hold. The earliest offset nutrient offset program dates back to 1984 in Lake Dillon, Colorado. That was a phosphorus program. So the concept of using a program to offset discharges of nutrients is not a new one. This has actually been done in other parts of the country for a long time. In 2003, US EPA issued its water quality trading policy, and I've got the quote that you can read there, which specifically encourages states to develop and implement these water quality trading programs for nutrients as well as sediments and other pollutants. But as Mr. Eberhardt noted earlier in his comments, specifically with regard to nutrients, this is something where EPA on a national basis finds that there are real opportunities to leverage point source discharges to remove a lot of nutrients that might otherwise not be removed from the watersheds. An important note is that pre-TMDL nutrient offset programs, such as the one that's being discussed today, are strongly encouraged by EPA and a variety of these states. Turning just briefly to pre-TMDL offsets, this slide just wants to note that the State Board, in a memorandum from the Office of Chief Counsel in 2001, which is updated in 2006 recently, specifically encourages the regional boards to rely on creative mechanisms in advance of TMDLs. Where it's appropriate and the kinds of safeguards that your staff has pointed out is included in this, and that Mr. Eberhardt has also pointed out that they'd like to see are included in the program. These are programs that are encouraged by the State Board. mentioned this earlier, the 2003 US EPA water quality trading policy, where they specifically support pre-TMDL trading in impaired waters to achieve progress towards attainment of water quality standards. So we're not talking about a new type of a program. We're talking about something that has not been tried. It's been tried, as I pointed out, in a number of other locations, and it is widely encouraged by both state and federal authorities. Just want to touch on four examples of state-supported pre-TMDL nutrient offset programs that are underway currently. The first one's in Wisconsin, the Red Cedar River, which was started in 1998. It's total phosphorus is the impairing pollutant. Ongoing point source to non-point source trades are ongoing. The second one is the Lower Boise River in Idaho, 1998 as well. That was a total phosphorus, and point-to-point and point-to-non-point trades are ongoing there. The Great Miami River watershed in Ohio, just a couple of years ago, involves total phosphorus as well as nitrogen. And lastly, the Chesapeake Bay, which includes the states of Pennsylvania, Virginia, Maryland, and West Virginia. That one's one of the newer ones, and most of the literature out that describes the Chesapeake Bay nutrient offset program is replete with a lot of information about the vast amounts, volumes of reductions of nutrients to this waterway. And they're actually hoping that this might preclude the need to actually adopt a TMDL in Chesapeake Bay. Whether they get there or not remains to be seen, but there have been a lot of aggressive programs related to that going on. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Lynn. Unless you have any questions.
In summary, the city has already taken extraordinary steps to reduce the subregional system's discharge to the Laguna. In fact, just last week, the system was chosen as winner of the 2008 Water Reuse Institution of the Year Award for its projects whose significance and contributions to the community continue to advance water reuse. The city's current phosphorus and nitrogen discharge to the Laguna occur only in the wettest, coldest months of the year, occur at a downstream point of the Laguna, and have already been dramatically reduced. In advance of a TMDL, which will establish the ultimate load, waste load allocations for nutrient discharge to the Laguna, the nutrient offset program will beneficially improve the Laguna and assist the city in achieving the 2011 effluent limitation for phosphorus and nitrogen of zero or no net loading. And Craig and I are happy to answer any questions somebody may have.
All right. Thank you. Board members? I have one in terms of the chart shows that decline in discharges looking to the time behind us, but at the same point the system responds, it has to deal with the weather, whatever the weather may be. But I'm curious as to the calculation for the, as you look forward and this program's in place, if you were to calculate for next year, talk to me about how that process is intended to work and how you make the calculation going forward in time, since we don't know what's going to happen.
I'm going to ask Dr. Dave Smith to respond to your question, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Dave Smith, and I'm here as a consultant to the City of Santa Rosa. The question is, I think, how do we, in a prospective fashion, estimate what our future load is going to be in order to determine what load reduction we need to achieve from some project or projects that might be proposed? Mr. Reed referred to a water balance model that the city has developed, and this tool is based on 95 years of river flow as a representation of weather, and we have, based on that, a relationship with our inflow and infiltration amounts. So that inflow and infiltration estimate we make would be based on an average rainfall condition. So we would we'd have an estimate of what we would be discharging in the upcoming year based on what our average dry weather flow is. That is the amount of actual sewage without any inflow and infiltration. Then we estimate what the, in an average year, incremental amount of flow would be, because that's the amount we discharge. We reuse all of the water that we, all of the sewage we actually produce. It's only the INI that gets discharged, and only some of that, in fact. So we take into account all of our reuse, estimate the discharge volume in an average year, use the average estimated concentration of the nutrients to get a mass load in the future year condition. Then we identify projects to offset that amount. Then after the fact, we go back and check, gee, how did we do? Well, if it was a wetter than expected year and we discharged more nutrients than we had offset, then we have to make that up in the next 2 years, because we have a three-year averaging period that we have to comply with.
So as I understand, then you're basing them on what the average dry weather flow has been in the most current time?
We determine average dry weather flow each year at about this time of year. And so we take what our best estimate of average dry weather flow is going to be during the upcoming year. And at this point, we're in fact not seeing growth in our flow. And so that estimate of future average dry weather flow can be made fairly accurately. And we also have information about how to project growth that might occur within a given year, also when that starts to occur in the future again.
And where are we at currently with average dry weather flow?
About 15.5 million gallons per day.
And does the nitrogen phosphorus calculation vary by flows, or is it dependent upon the, you know, whatever the population base is?
No, it's dependent on the treatment processes in place at the treatment plant, and not sensitive to the amount of flow particularly.
excuse me. What's the dry weather period that you're forecasting for?
Average dry weather flow is calculated each year using the lowest 30-day running average that occurs during the year, and that can occur anywhere from this time of year into October.
Right. So you're taking that from the past year and looking at that lowest 30-day average and applying that, and depending on water year type.
Yeah, and we make the assumption that it will be an average year, and
sure,
it never is, but it's just as likely to be under as over, and that's why a three-year averaging period is needed, because we're trying to anticipate and account for future discharges, and that's a prediction, and it's not always going to be right.
All right. And I don't know who should respond. Maybe it's a staff question, but So one of the items struck out was a listing of possible projects. I'm curious as to how, what remains is, maybe you can't answer this, in terms of what kinds of projects are you anticipating?
We are anticipating some of those types of projects. We listed in our presentation the opportunity to control manure on dairies, assist dairy operators with proper management of manure. There are some dairies that may have more production than they can use on a dairy, and we mentioned a couple of options. One is to haul that excess manure that they're unable to use to the treatment plant and use it for energy production. Another option is to, instead of bring it to the treatment plant, take it to other pastures that are nutrient poor and incorporate those into the pasture to benefit other dairy operators and their local feed production. So those are the kind of options we're looking at. We're also looking at habitat improvement options. I'm not sure there were any of those listed and then struck out, but we regard those as high value type projects in terms of nutrient reduction per cost that might be achieved also. And we mentioned Ludwigia removal. Ludwigia includes nitrogen as part of its tissue, and to the extent we can remove some of that from the system, it could be beneficial. There's nutrients stored in the sediment of the laguna, and it may be possible to remove some of the sediment from the laguna. It's also considered desirable by flood control authorities as well as water quality. So,
and it's pointed out that any project qualified to have to involve direct measurement. How do you measure what items removed or the quantities?
The program acknowledges that some projects are amenable to that kind of direct measurement and some are not. And the kind that are amenable to direct measurement would include the example of hauling manure off of a dairy. You can measure how many truckloads you bring off of a dairy, and then you can know what the proper amount or the necessary amount of nutrients is that would be needed at a dairy to grow their pasture, and the difference is what you get credit for. So that's a direct measurement example. An example where it isn't really possible, and Mr. Eberhardt, I think, correctly states that there's uncertainty associated with estimating some of the practices or projects that might be implemented, and so there's recognition of both types in the program.
But a flag for staff, just to come back to, if the is my understanding that the requirement is projects have to qualify as for direct measurement. So we'll get that worked out later on. Ms. Harris.
In regards to the removal of manure from dairies, what is the response that you've gotten from the local dairy folks in regards to these type of programs? Are you having a favorable response, or?
Yes, we are. We have met with leaders in the dairy community as well as specific dairy operators, and they are favorably disposed, or at least most are favorably disposed to working with the city. We haven't developed any specific projects at this point. We needed to have this program approved before it made sense to get into the next step, but conceptual discussions with dairy operators has been positive so far.
Thank you.
And I would inquire in terms, Mr. Johns mentioned that these offset programs for pre-TMDL, one of the things that they may lead to is not doing a TMDL. Does the city have a view on it? I mean, you would prefer to have the offset or prefer the TMDL, or you're just happy to get out of here today and let something happen tomorrow? I mean,
we're always happy when we get out of here.
sometimes happy at the permit, sometimes happy to sue.
We regard this permit or this offset program as a positive advance for water quality protection, as well as an advance in terms of options for the city to remain in compliance with our permit. We regard this as an interim tool for compliance and water quality protection while a TMDL is being developed. We don't really regard it as an alternative to the TMDL. I think Mr. Reed mentioned that it may provide a model for how dischargers of waste who receive a waste load allocation under the TMDL may be able to comply. So there may be some version of this offset program that gets incorporated into a TMDL implementation plan. But that's the subject of another process for this board to consider, and right now we're regarding this as a positive step forward for our interim purposes.
Anyone else?
Just a general question. Maybe this is for Mr. Johns. In citing the other states and programs that are being implemented right now, are those generally successful?
Again, Craig Johns. Success is all relative. It depends on which programs that you're looking at. One program in particular that comes to mind in the state of Connecticut, a little bit different situation there, where there's actually a banking system that's run by the state, and credits that are generated are sold into this bank, if you will, and then those who need to buy their credits to offset their discharges go in and pay however the formula is developed by the clearinghouse there to sell those. In the case of Connecticut in 1 year, it was reported to the legislature that they had excess credits available, and under state law, they had a separate state law that embodied this whole program, there was a requirement under state law to actually purchase those credits out of the bank. So that one was a situation where the offset programs were considered wildly successful, if you will, because there were so many excess credits being placed in. In other states, just to be completely honest with you, some of these programs are only a couple of years old. There's only been one, two, three trades. There's another program in, bear with me just a second, the Cedar River example that I provided to you, they've gone through seven rounds of credit purchasing. So that one is about 8 years old. And so you can see that one is actually been viewed as a very successful program. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, and I guess that if they're receiving credits for it, then what's being implemented on the ground is obviously successful in that sense that they're receiving credit for that action.
Correct. That's how those credits are generated.
So, right. Thanks.
Anyone else? All right. Go on. Dan Sherman.
Mr. Chair and members of the board, I'm Dan Sherman, Executive Director of the Laguna Foundation. And the Laguna Foundation supports the proposed nutrient offset program. We have a couple of concerns and conditions. We believe the program should be implemented immediately and considered a pilot program to determine its efficacy rather than waiting until the TMDLs are completed to begin assigning credit for nutrient reductions through offset projects. Meaning that during this pilot phase, the city should be given credit for nutrient reductions achieved through offset projects. And assessment of the nutrient reduction impacts of offset projects must be rigorously scientific and require thorough and frequent monitoring. Accordingly, the foundation believes such monitoring and project impact analysis should be conducted by a qualified third-party water quality monitoring contractor who does not have any other current contractual relationship with the city or the subregional system. We recognize that this could be a costly requirement for the city. So if the board determines that public confidence in documentation of the effects of the projects can be achieved through the city's own monitoring and analysis, we would agree with that determination. If an independent third-party monitor is required, just to be clear, the Laguna Foundation could not be considered to perform this monitoring and analysis, although we would like to participate in reviewing data on offset projects, perhaps as a part of a technical advisory committee. And if the analysis of offset projects indicates that they are delivering and will continue to deliver the benefits for which they've been credited, we believe the program should be made permanent as an element of the city's compliance with permit conditions under the Laguna TMDL. And I want to thank you for considering the opinion of the Laguna Foundation on this matter.
All right. Well, questions? Thank you. Brenda?
Brenda Edelman, is that working? Is it? Brenda Edelman. Thank you. Okay, Brenda Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. Basically, in concept, the way it's been proposed by staff, we can tentatively support this proposal. My big concern would be to emphasize, I don't think it's working now, but to emphasize the need for public input on the various specific projects, and I think the monitoring schedules are very important, and CEQA review. And so the details of individual projects need to be assessed. This is just a general program that you're looking at today, and on the surface of it, it looks very viable. But again, the details are important to us. One comment I want to make, it's been repeated over and over, that the amount of flow is affected, and I believe strongly affected, by the amount of rain we have. And one of the mantras I've been carrying forth everywhere I go is that I believe the city needs to put more effort into their I&I. I think that the goal should be to increase conservation, decrease the amount of inflow into the pipes. I have this data from 1992. There's a very high correlation between high flows and amount of rain. And this last year was fairly dry, and the flows went down to almost nothing. And I think that we need to go more in that direction to see how we can minimize flows. And I think that while I&I repair is expensive, it can be selective and implemented over time. Right now, I believe the city is replacing about 0.5% to 0.8% of their pipelines, which just isn't enough. So at any rate, I'm concerned. I want to see that happen. I'm very glad that more will be going to the geysers, which again eliminates much of the need for discharge. I think that conservation can be revved up a little bit more than it is. The city's done a lot, but I think they can go further with that. And I think they ought to be encouraged wherever possible to diminish the amount of nutrients they're discharging to the Laguna by diminishing their discharge. And I think it's possible for them to make even greater improvements in the future. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. So all the cards I have. Are there any other? All right. Come back to the board. Mr. Corbett.
I have some questions to staff just to clarify. My understanding of the city is a one-to-one. In other words, for every projected reduction that there would be one reduced from their flow. I noticed Mr. Lozo presented the concern about slippage, and then I noticed the staff approach was to allow the executive officer to build in a margin of safety. And you can certainly do that at the assumption level, but I know in other agencies faced with certain levels of uncertainty just require a higher takeout, like a 1.25 to every one credit, figuring that's a built-in margin of safety. So this is sort of a convoluted, I can understand why people feel a little bit of a concern that the margin of safety isn't built up front in the system. And would like to see in the future us really think through whether we want to just go to a higher ratio for each credit reduction as being maybe a better regulatory approach. It'd be very clear to applicants, put less pressure on the executive director, not have as much in a set of assumptions that may or may not work. So that's my question. Just how comfortable are you with this approach as opposed to upping a more than one-to-one to avoid slippage?
I think I'm gonna let Samantha answer that.
Check two. This is Samantha Olson, your legal counsel. We considered requiring just a numeric margin of safety. However, because of the location of the Laguna, there are opportunities to have a margin of safety that are temporal and also spatial, so we didn't want to limit it to some sort of numeric quantification, and that's how it's written now. And what I mean by the spatial and temporal is if they remove a discharge of a nutrient at a time of the year where that nutrient, the removal of it is much more benefit to water quality, then that might be a margin of safety.
I mean, my recommendation for the future, and I think we got to get through the permit today, is to consider both until we get a little better knowledge level.
And the way it's written does not rule out a quantified numerical margin of safety right. either. It allows for all of those possibilities.
We were also reluctant to put a numerical margin of safety in because we don't have any projects that are proposed yet. So different projects may have different levels of uncertainty. So to assign a certain margin of safety, a blanket margin of safety, would not have been appropriate, we didn't think, at this point, at least in the resolution phase.
The chair would ask the EPA representative just to respond to that, because you'd raised in your letter the need for margin of safety. Are we marginally safe here?
Yeah, I think Charles' last point there was that it's appropriate to apply the margin of safety on a project-by-project basis because some projects have a lot more uncertainty than others, and so we're comfortable with the way it's now structured.
Okay. And Mr. Corbett's question raised for me issue in terms of, or response from Samantha, in terms of the time of year, do we consider, you know, if you have the example cited will be dairy manure. I've heard that raised. Are we talking about collecting dairy farm manure in the summertime and counting it, or are we talking about dairy farm manure in the discharge season and counting it, or we don't care because it's nitrogen and it's some time of the year?
Well, that raises another point that I wanted to mention, is that the lists in the original offset program were deleted not because those weren't under consideration or that the city couldn't bring those as proposals. It was deleted to prevent a speculative discussion about a given project or proposal. And so I'm hoping that today we don't engage in a specific project. However, if board members are interested in one, we can certainly bring it up. But in the absence of a specific program, I would counsel that we not get into the specifics. But those are certainly all considerations that we're going to have to look at, and the city's going to have to propose to staff.
Well, I can appreciate that. I still, I mean, it tickles my fancy that there's an issue here that I haven't heard. Maybe a friend from the EPA can respond to in terms of the time of year. It's just, for me, it's a fascinating question as to, are we talking about we don't care, or are we talking about a time we would prefer to have removal occur at a particular point in time?
Well, you know, I'm not an expert in the details here, but it seems quite plausible to me that the nutrient problems would be worst in the summertime, and so therefore nutrient discharges in the summertime could have more of an impact, but ecological impact at that time, and so removing discharge from the summer period to me would get more credit perhaps than removing a discharge during the winter period.
All right. Mr. Corbett.
I just have one other comment. I find it a puzzling argument that we have a lower standard because we're not sure it's high enough. And to me, I would put in for the future, and you know, we are where we are. This is an interim permit, but for the future, I would like both, where we put in a minimum margin of safety, and we have the executive director has margin of safety conditions they can add to it, because I hate to argue against ourselves. And like I said, I think the sum total of staff arguments is we should have a lesser minimum requirement because we're afraid it's not enough, and that's really puzzling in the long run. So I'm willing to go where we are in this permit, but if a future one comes back, I'm going to want to really zone in on a little clearer base minimum as well as discretion to the executive officer.
And since I brought you back, I'll ask you another question. In terms of the, you mentioned this offset program is a national priority. Subsequent to your comment, it was pointed out that these offset programs can actually, pre-TMDL can help negate the need for a TMDL. I can't exactly recall. Do you have a view on, is this a way to improve, and we're happier with an offset program, or we're happier with a TMDL, or it'll all be?
You know, generally I would see them as independent. I suppose if a state is, you know, got a schedule for developing its TMDLs, and there's one that's farther down the line, and during the period before they get to that, they institute an offset program which fixes the problem, that would eliminate the need for a TMDL, but I'd rather see the TMDL program move forward concurrently, and the offset program can be carried over to the implementation phase once the TMDL is done.
All right. And I will ask Mr. Reed a question in terms of monitoring. One is, I'll go back to the direct measurement question and what kinds of projects qualify or don't qualify on that dimension.
Well, as Samantha alluded to, we hate to be speculative because we're not really sure, and it's possible that the number of projects that are amenable to direct management are small. The example of removing dairy waste is maybe more complicated. We don't know actually how much of that dairy or how that manure would be actually delivered to the Laguna. That's going to have to be determined at some point. And we'll those are the kind of that kind of information that we'll be considering when we review a project. And the public will have a opportunity to comment on that. And if they object to a proposal, they can voice that opinion, and we can take that into consideration during our review and whether or not we approve or the executive officer approves or rejects a project.
And it's my understanding that, you know, you mentioned public review, there will be opportunity for comment on that in terms of approving a project, we're granting authority of the executive officer to proceed. Is that not
That's correct?
And in terms of monitoring, do we currently collect data at the low point of the Laguna and know how much nitrogen and phosphorus is passing through the system? And that would be a component of the monitoring, or are we talking about if measuring how much vegetation removal and calculating it on that end and at the project level? Do we?
Well, this offset program really doesn't go into how we're going to measure whether the actual offset was done. We're going to be starting with an estimate and comparing the estimate to what was actually discharged. So this program at least doesn't go into whether we're going to verify that after the fact. There may be monitoring done for nutrients in Laguna as part of the TMDL effort, but not as part of the permit, the city's NPDES permit, of which this offset program would be a part.
And for me, a final question. What happens if we don't do this?
This one fewer option for the city to comply with this no net loading effluent limit, and we will not potentially see some nutrient reduction activities in the Laguna that otherwise could have happened if this was in place.
All right. Anybody else? I'll entertain a motion, I guess. We have a resolution. I actually think it would be useful we have a fresh version of Strikeout, I think, walking us through that in its entirety, or at least page by page, not word by word, but I want to know that the board is comfortable that the words are here in front of us and we know what we're approving. Ms. Olson.
There is one typographical error on the strike-through section of page 2 of the offset program, which is attachment 1 to the resolution. It is the second bullet titled Stormwater Management Projects. At the end of the parens, end parens MS4 permit, there needs to be a period there and then capital U under the nutrient offset program. Those are two sentences. Hopefully any motion can reflect that change.
And that error is also included in the resolution on finding number 8. So the same.
All right, you're going to back me up. We're on attachment 1. This is about fifth page or sixth page into the white sheets.
Oh, okay.
Page 2. Two-thirds of the way down that page, stormwater management projects. And you're putting a period in the fourth line?
You know, that's not true, actually. Can we just take that back?
I'd like to take that.
Now that I've read the sentence, I this was pointed out by the city, but I believe that it is one long sentence, and it should read as it's written, and I apologize.
Okay.
just is going to read, to ensure that no nutrient reduction project will overlap with BMP activities required by the NPDES permit. Under the nutrient offset program, the EO shall not approve. It should read as one sentence.
There's no change to the resolution. It's only the program that has the typo because the language in the program is different
than the resolution. It's okay for an attorney to have two minds. It's okay.
I object to that.
Okay, I'm gonna change it once again and just direct you to the strike-through version of the offset program, page 2. It's slightly different from the language in the resolution and should have a period at the end of MS4 permit because that one doesn't have...
Okay. Third line... So we're putting a period after paren and capping it under, is that?
Yes, correct. I apologize for the confusion.
All right, again, come back, Charles, walk us through the strikeout in terms of anything we...
All right, there's a correction in finding of the resolution of finding 5. In parens, it identifies the Santa Rosa Nutrient Offset Program as the Nutrient Offset Program, to be referred to in the remainder of the resolution. Findings 7 through 10 are added. From the version that you saw in the agenda. The attachment 1, the nutrient offset program. The second bullet, or the first bullet under nutrient reduction credits, we've removed a number of the examples of projects that are amenable, that may be amenable to direct measurement. We've also removed examples of projects that are not amenable to direct measurement. We've included a section on requiring a margin of safety to be included with each project proposal. And we've revised the stormwater management program section. This is on page 2, page 2 of the offset program. A little bit more clarifying language on what kind of projects may or may not be allowed. On the next page, we have added language related to banked credits and how this is one of the safeguards we added to make sure that banked credits are applied in the most appropriate manner, not for instance all in the first year. And it gives the executive officer some flexibility in how these are apportioned. And in the fourth page, page number 4 in the strikeout version of the offset program, we remove from this, we were requiring that the executive officer, or we're saying that the executive officer shall provide notice for opportunity of public comment. It was originally may, and we wanted to, in response to comments, we changed that to shall. And in the last page, page number 5, we added a detail that that we will be posting the annual report on our website, and we'll be responsive to comments on that annual report. So I believe those are all the changes in the resolution and the offset program.
Are you ready for a motion?
Okay, well, Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to make a motion based upon the amendments. I want to say I think the program's innovative. I want to thank the city for bringing it to us. It also gives you a roadmap for compliance under the permit, which has been an item of considerable discussion. and get something going now, and I believe we can learn for the TMDL. So I didn't want you to think my comments on the margin of safety were an implied criticism of the city. They weren't. It's just this is new, it's innovative, and we're trying to figure out the best way to do our job on our side of the aisle. But I support the order as amended.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, you're out of here.
Happy to leave.
Yeah, are you happy now?
We're happy and we're leaving, and thank you.
All right. Well, the board's going to take a recess, a short one again, if we can. Thank you.